today. Really enjoyed. Good instruments and good voices. Praise God for that. Good morning, CLC Church. My name is Narcis. I'm from Romania. I'm a Romanian minister. And I'm really happy to be here with you today to share from the Word of God and to enjoy the worship time together from His Word. Even though I am a Romanian interpreter, I haven't used my English to preach for some time. If I remember last time, I had to do a funeral somewhere up north, and I did it. And today I've been asked to preach about the death of John the Baptist. So I guess I'm a lucky preacher today. Yeah. I pray that God today, in this morning, to search our hearts and to bless our lives with His Word. Today we have a beautiful account from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses from 14 to 29. And it's about a man who really was holy, a man that really served God and loved God. His death was a major important event in the history of the Old and New Testament, and even for the church today. So John the Baptist, an introduction of this teaching, was the first prophet and preacher after 400 of silence from God. Can you imagine? Synagogue, temple, services without any word from God. We much watch about ourselves and what God He wants to do in His church. Without His voice and His word, we're gonna be left to be behind. But God sent John the prophet, John the Baptist, to prepare the people of Israel, and not only for the arrival of Jesus. That's a good news. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen today? Hallelujah. Yeah. 400 years. And then John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His pulpit wasn't in the synagogue or temple, John Baptist. He was preaching in the wilderness of Judea and by the river of Jordan, Jordan River. I've been there last year in Israel. We had some baptismal service there. I encourage you to go and to see the Holy Land. It's quite holy, trust me. He preached about repentance and urged people to live a righteous life. Like I said at the beginning, John the Baptist prepared the way for the arrival of Jesus Christ. But he had another king in his mind and sermon, and that was Herod Antipas. He preached against his marriage with his niece. Her name was Herodias. Yeah. He rebuked King Herod for divorcing his wife. King Herod was married with a daughter of a rabbi king. He divorced her, and once he was invited to Rome, his brother Philip lived there, and he saw Herodia, and he managed to take her from his brother, half-brother. So this ruler, actually it was a ruler, not a king. The technical name for this is tetrarch, which means he's a ruler of just one-fourth of the kingdom of Israel. He was a ruler over Galilee and Perea. He was a good king, a good leader. He done major important things in Israel, and he was a friend of Rome. And he had a good relationship with them. But in his personal life, like his father, Herod the Great, who tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, now we have understand the meaning of this say, like father, like son, he was a weak king, a weak person, because he was manipulated and outwitted. That's a new word which I learned this week, outwitted, by an evil, vengeful woman. Herodias, she managed to kill John the Baptist with the help of her daughter, Salome. From this account of Mark, we can learn many important things for our spiritual lives. But today I want to emphasize and to focus to just few things, important things, from this beautiful account. So what we can learn from this death, the death of John the Baptist? I know it's sad, it's something sad. His ministry was very short. Yeah, he didn't have a house. He used to live in the wilderness, eating honey. He lived a healthy life, I would say, yeah? And his clothes wasn't from Marcus Spencer or from other places, yeah? A camel, yeah? But what we can learn today about his death, what we can learn, because sometimes it's something bitter when a holy man, an important man like John the Baptist, he's killed right in the power of his ministry. In the first place, the death of John the Baptist wasn't, I just underline this, the death of John the Baptist wasn't a failure of his ministry. Can you say amen for it? Amen? Amen? Okay, sorry, I'm used with my Romanian. Yeah. So it wasn't a failure, my dears. It wasn't a failure at all. At the beginning, looks like, initially it appears that the winner gain everything, yeah? Let me review with you a couple things. The King Herod managed to put in jail John the Baptist, and his wife, Herodia, and Salome succeed in manipulating Herod to get rid of John the Baptist. So it looks like everything is done. That's it, yeah? But in this beautiful account of Mark, we can see something else. And I want you to look closely. Let's read verse 14, please. If you put on the screen, please. Thank you. I hope I can see till there. So let's read verse 14. Look at verse 14. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And that's why miraculous powers are working him. There were three theories about the work and the miracles of Jesus that we can see in this text, in this chapter. The first one, some said that Jesus was John the Baptist who raised from the dead. Let's read again, verse 14. Yeah, John the Baptist, part B, has been raised from the dead. And that's why miraculous powers are working in him. So people, they believe when they saw Jesus, they said, this is John the Baptist. He was killed by Herod, but now he resurrected from the dead. That's why miraculous things, powers are working in him. A second opinion, we meet in verse 15, part A. Other people, they said this. Other, they said, he is Elijah, yeah? They thought that Jesus is Elijah. And part B of this verse, others said he was another Old Testament prophet. But guess, believe it or not, King Herod had his own opinion, which we see in verse 16. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, just be careful now. Just read that. John, whom I beheaded. Yeah? He recognized that he killed John the Baptist. He gave the command to kill John the Baptist. Has been raised from the dead. Has been raised from the dead. So what we can see here, John the Baptist's message, his life, his personality wasn't forgotten in the people of Israel. His ministry, his words, he was popular. People enjoyed his teaching. Even his words was not all the time pleasant to these people, yeah, to the people who were listening to him. But in their minds, in their spirits, in their heart, John the Baptist was still there. Now, this is what we need to think about it, about our ministry, about what we pray, what we sing, what we preach. Our ministry needs to be there and to remain in the people's hearts, in the church, and in our family. Even John the Baptist died, his message and personality remained there in the people's mind. They associate him, people, they associate him with the person and ministry of Jesus. That's why we need to understand that our life, our ministry, need to be look like Jesus is in our lives, and people to see this. Amen? John the Baptist knew at the beginning, from the beginning, that he is a forerunner of Jesus' ministry. He knew at the beginning that it's not something special. He was special, but he knew from the beginning that he is a forerunner for Jesus, that he is the only one to prepare the way for the arrival of Jesus. Let me read with you Isaiah 40, chapter 3, please. His coming on this earth of John the Baptist, he's one of the prophecy fulfilled on the time of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40, please, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So John the Baptist knew his job, his role. He was a forerunner for Jesus. And also, he knew that Jesus is greater than him, that his part is just a small role. Let me read with you Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, please. Thank you. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one, just to underline this word, after me. He knew that Jesus will come. That after me is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Praise God for that. He knew from the beginning that he's a forerunner. I baptize you with water, but there is somebody else who's coming after me. And this is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Praise his name this morning in this church. Amen. Amen. So I can see today that Jesus and John the Baptist had the same message. The first message, the first topic, the first sermon of this godly man was repentance. Repent, yeah? For many occasions, John the Baptist pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. In his preaching, the question that he has been asked, who are you? Are you Messiah? Are you Elijah? He always points to the person of Jesus Christ. And what is important, some of his disciples follow Jesus Christ. In the second place, what we can learn from the death of John the Baptist? We can learn that people are malice. People are malice. People thoughts, people desires are evil. Their actions are evil, are malice. Some people just look around. Local events, international events, news, political leaders. Just look around. And you can see very easy that some intentions, some desires are really mean, are really evil, like malice. This is what Jesus said in his word, and let's read from Mark chapter 7, verse 21 till 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 21-23. For it is from within, out of person's hearts, what? What comes from there? Evil thoughts, right? Sexual immorality, theft, murder. 22, please. Adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Verse 23. All this evil comes from inside and defile a person. This is what we can see every day. Maybe our neighbors, maybe some of our friends. We can see this very easy. John the Baptist stood up with courage and boldness to preach the truth and to rebuke an incestuous marriage of King Herod Antipas with his brother's wife, which she was also his niece. Her name was Herodia, and believe it or not, he was a member of Herod dynasty. Her parents was Aristobulus IV and Bernice, her mother, making her granddaughter of Herod the Great. That's some family, yeah? So King Herod married his niece. About this woman, she didn't like criticism. She enjoyed the life with her uncle. She enjoyed the marriage with her uncle. And when John the Baptist stood up and rebuked this marriage, rebuked what they did, at the beginning she was married with Herod the Second or Philip. Yeah, or Philip. She gave up to that marriage and she married with another uncle, King Herod Antipas. And she didn't like criticism. She didn't enjoy it, John the Baptist's message. This is what we see every day. Everything is good. Everything is beautiful for people. Everything is nice, except God's word. If you invite people to church, you have to pray a lot. Somebody to say, one day, yes, I'll come to church. Because people's hearts are towards evil, not to love light, truth, righteousness, and holiness. Let me read verse 19 to have a better understanding of this woman, Herodia. Verse 19. So Herodias nursed, yeah? Because she didn't like this message. She didn't like the truth. She didn't like the criticism coming from John the Baptist. She felt no remorse, no thoughts of repentance, or to get closer to God, to ask for forgiveness. But instead, the Bible said that this lady, this woman, nursed a grudge against John. And guess what? It's not only a grudge, yeah? I don't like this person. I'm not going to talk with him. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do anything. But this grudge driven her to do something bad. The Bible said, and wanted to kill him. She wanted to kill John the Baptist. So much hate. But she was not able to. She was not able to. So much hate for somebody who is preaching the truth. For somebody who is telling the truth. For somebody who lives a holy life, she wanted to kill him. I think her life is similar with the lady from the Old Testament, Isabel, yeah? The same situation, evil woman, evil lady, sorry ladies for this, yeah? I hope we're going to shake hands after that. Yeah. Because she hates Elisha so much, and she wants him dead also. That's a spirit of the woman, yeah? Yeah, if I don't like somebody, I'm going to kill him, yeah? If I don't like somebody, if I don't like a prophet or a preacher, I'm going to kill him. Yeah? Similar character, similar hate, similar things. But she caught the perfect moment. She caught the perfect moment of her husband's birthday party. Yeah? With the occasion of her birthday party. And she advised her daughter, Salome, which she has danced for Herod, to have John the Baptist, her head, on a platter. She caught the perfect moment. Just one moment. Just one small opportunity to fulfill her dreams, to fulfill her vengeance against a holy man. Yeah? Her daughter danced for this king. The name of the dance, the scholar said it was called the dance of seven veils. I don't want to tell you what does it mean here from the pulpit. If you have other questions after church, yeah. But Salome, she had to choose between half of Herod's kingdom or John the Baptist's head. Yeah, she danced. Herod enjoyed her dance, her skills, the way she did that dance, the way she done it, the way she moved, yeah. And she seduced her stepfather or her second uncle with his dance. So Salome, as a young girl, she had to choose between half of Herod's kingdom, yeah. She was so impressed, he was so impressed with her dance that he said to her, choose everything you want, yeah. Choose everything you want, even half of my kingdom. Maybe Galilee or Perea, yeah? Take half. I enjoyed your dance. Or, she said, half of kingdom, that's not too much. She went to ask advice from her mother, and her mother advised her to choose not half of the kingdom of Herod and Antipas, but the head of John the Baptist. And I like what the Bible said here. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And I was just wondering, why a platter? Yeah? When I go with my friends, Romanian friends, from the churches which I serve, we always go to a Turkish restaurant for kebab things, yeah? And we always ask a platter. Always we ask a platter, yeah? It's a big plate. And why a platter? Because she thinks that the head of John the Baptist is like a trophy. Yeah? It's like a trophy for her. Look here. A big platter, a nice platter, and there is no food, just the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. She chose the head of John the Baptist because half of Herod's kingdom meant nothing to her. She just fulfilled her mother's desire to see John the Baptist dead. That's something sad. What kind of desire some people they may have to see the people of God, holy men, righteous men, preachers, to be dead, to be killed. This king, he was weak, but on the other hand, he really liked John the Baptist. That's why he put him in prison, just to protect him. But he had one moment of weakness, just one moment of weakness because of that dance. And in this way, John the Baptist died. That was a rash promise. rash promise. He was so drunk, I think, with what he saw, so impressed about Salome's skills, that he made a rash promise. Ask me anything you want. Ask me anything you want, and I'm able, I'm willing to give you half of my kingdom. Just ask me everything you want. A moment of weakness, a rash oath made to a young girl. We just need to pay attention what we promise to people, what we say to people, what we say in the church, what we speak in the church, what we say to our wife, to our husband, to our children. Just watch your mouth. Think first and then promise. Imagine what you want to say. Just put your desires in according with the word of God, not your selfish desires. There are two records in the Bible, who shows that other people, they made a rash oath, a rash promise. If you want to read with me Judge, the book of Judge, chapter 11, verse 30 and 31, I just want to read this, because when you promise something out of your evil desire, selfish desire, somebody else will pay the price. Somebody else will pay the price. Let me read with you Judge, the book of Judge, Judges, Judge, chapter 11, verse 30. Okay, thank you. And Eptah made an oath to the Lord. Yeah, just pay attention to this word. Made an oath to the Lord, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, verse 31, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Guess what? Who came? Guess what? Do you know who came out from his doors? His daughter. His daughter, which she was not married. Verse 29. His daughter. Turned out that his daughter came out. She was the first one who came out. And she was sacrificed for just a rash promise. I can give you another example from 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 24. 1 Samuel. Yeah. Then he said, go out among the men and tell them, each of you bring me your cattle and sheep, and hear it, them here and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating. There's another scripture. Is the same King Saul, when he forbid to everybody, do not eat anything. Do not anything. He made an oath before God. Do not eat anything. When they're supposed to have strength to fight in a war, this king, Saul, he said, ask everybody, all the men, do not eat anything all day. And Jonathan, his son, he didn't know about this rash oath, and he tried a little bit honey. And King Saul was ready to kill his son only for a rash promise. I want to tell you this morning, be careful, pay attention, set your mind what you promise, what you do with your life. Somebody else who is innocent, he might pay the price. Be careful what you do with your money. I saw parents, they are so selfish. They buy drugs. They buy alcohol. They spend it on gamble. And when they come home with empty pockets, and children are waiting their father to buy some food to eat. Be careful what you promise to other people. Some others will pay the price. Some innocent people, they will pay the price because of your selfishness and unholy desires. I think that we need to be careful not to make rash promises or any other promises driven by emotions or bad influence. I think we need to be careful what we do, to be careful about our emotions. Is driven by holy things or is driven by emotions and selfish desires? King Solomon had a piece of he has a piece of advice for us. We can read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 2. We have a word of advice from King Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Thank you. Ecclesiastes, yeah. Did you find it? Okay. Do not quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be what? Say it loud. Be few. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. I mean. So the death of John the Baptist, what we learn from this? In the first place, it wasn't a failure. Second, people are malice. And finally, in the third place, we learned that John the Baptist was faithful to his calling. He was very faithful to his calling. John the Baptist's fortitude in rebuking King Herod and serve us as an important lesson for us. Each of us, we have been called to speak the truth, rebuke evil, and to remain faithful to God's value and principle of his word. We need to stay faithful to God's word, his value, and his principle. Do not let be influenced by everything that's in this world, about the news, about teaching, what you see on your phone, what you see on your TV. Stay. I encourage you today, this morning, stay faithful to the word of God, his value and his principle. In this way, we can gain the victory for our life. Amen? Amen. So, when we speak about that John the Baptist was faithful to God, I want to show you a few things about his character. John the Baptist was always humble before God and people. He denied that he was Elijah. Yeah, he didn't want to compare himself with Elijah. Let's read John verse 1, verse 20, John chapter 1, verse 21. They ask him, then who are you? Yeah, and they wanted to help him. Who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Yeah, humble character, but he was a good preacher. Yeah, I think nobody baptized, no other pastor baptized like him every day. Verse 25, please. Question him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Yeah? Also, he had the privilege of pointing to the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, that's very beautiful. Just look to this scripture. That's very beautiful. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah. I like this statement, which I wrote it here on my notes. John stated that Jesus was greater than he, and that Jesus had a more powerful ministry and baptism. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 till 14. Thank you. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Yeah. He stated that Jesus and his ministry is greater than he. Then with all of his power, he denied that he was Christ. Let's read again from John 1, 19 to 23. Then ask him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. Yeah? Who he was. And he said, I am not Christ. I'm just preparing the way for the arrival of Jesus Christ. In a way or other, CLC Church, you, your family, you are John the Baptist, which you need to stay strong, to stay firm, to stay in truth, and to let everybody else from this city, Birmingham, to let your neighbors, your friends, look, Jesus is coming. Now it's time for repentance. It's time for repentance. It's time to live your life in truth, in lightness of God's words. You need to stand up with boldness and courage. You have Holy Spirit in you. God is with you. You have a powerful weapon, which is God's words, to use it. Use it in your family. Use it your neighbor. Everybody needs to know Jesus is coming. Hallelujah for that. I say hallelujah for that. I'm waiting for this event. I'm preparing for this event. I'm preaching everywhere I go for this event. Jesus is coming. Let's prepare our hearts for that. Let's prepare our lives for that. Jesus is coming. You are John the Baptist in Birmingham. Be one. Of course, nobody will take your head off. I hope so. Yeah? But till then, stand up with courage and boldness and preach the word. Jesus is coming. In the conclusion, my dear brother and sister, the ministry, person, and life of John the Baptist is of great theological importance in the New Testament and for the church today. John the Baptist was like a link from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the old prophets to the new prophet, from the law of the Old Testament to the grace of the New Testament. Hallelujah for that. You need to share God's love among the place where you live and to show to the people, I am his child and I want to show you his love. I would like to close my teaching today with one of the beautiful, most beautiful statements which Jesus said about something, about somebody. It's one of the beautiful statements that Jesus said about Amen. Let's read from Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. I love that very much. It is very nice. It is very nice. I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than who? John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Praise God for that. Praise God for John the Baptist. Praise God for his boldness and courage to stand firm and to preach God's word. Thank you for having me today. In this morning, I pray that the life and the ministry of John the Baptist to inspire us all to live our lives and to serve our God according with his will. May God bless you and keep you well. Amen.
Thank you. Going to close with a very appropriate song as we sing about living for God, but through Christ, not in our own strength. Let's stand together.
Stay.